We'll open up the scriptures. Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to talk about modest apparel. It's funny, like sometimes you have a discussion with people before the meeting and lines up with what the talk's all about. It's kind of funny. So modest apparel, which is an important scriptural principle. And so we'll bring out some scriptures about that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, like, we know there's a difference, there's a separation between our body and our spirit. We understand that because we develop this vision and what the Spirit sees. We start looking at what the Spirit sees, and it says there that both our body and the Spirit are God's because we have been bought with a price. As I said before, like Jesus died, that was the price that was paid so that we could be God's. We could belong to God. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Whether you like it or not, the temple you carry around wherever you go. And frankly, I like that idea. We've always got the Holy Spirit with us, always, within this earthly tabernacle. And we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's remarkable because before Jesus came, the temple of the Holy Ghost was this bricks and mortar thing, and God decided to put his name there. But now he puts his name within a people, and we are those people. Just to back it up, over to our chapter 7 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord. So called, we are called, we're actually predestinated. You know, we're called by God. Being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. So what this really says is, before you're called by God, you're living your life, and let's say there's someone who's a servant or a slave, you know, they had slavery back then. So this slave was called by God, and they're looking to God. They're actually, before the Lord, they're free. You know, they've been liberated in the spirit. But likewise, if anybody's free, they're not enslaved. They're called by God, by the Lord, filled with the Spirit. We are then Christ's servant. We serve him. Verse 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Okay? So we always have a choice between God and mammon, God and the devil. We have a choice. And so we are servants of Jesus Christ. So what it says here, always choose to be his servant, not the servant of men and other ideas around us. You know, like, bearing in mind the title of the talk is Modest Apparel. And so the ideas that people have around us are different to the ideas that are reflected in the scriptures. So we are Christ's servants. We don't serve other people. 1 Peter chapter 3. And praise the Lord for that. We're free from the constraints and the expectations. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, these scriptures are normally read out when there's a talk on marriage given, but this is not a marriage talk. So bearing in mind the modest apparel. 1 Peter chapter 3 says here, likewise, your wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So here's a wonderful example here, and we have examples in the assembly as well where the wives are following the things of the Lord, are a servant of the Lord, and their husbands, they obey not the word. They don't follow God. But what the scriptures say here is through the wife's conversation and chasteness or chastity, they will glorify God coupled with fear. And then it goes on, verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. So very powerful verses there. It's encouraging people to look at the inner man. And the inner man has a far greater impact on people than the outer man. The character that we have, the attitude that we have. And here it's encouraging the women to put on the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And you can always think in mind that the women that you respect and hold in high regard are those that meek and quiet. Those that talk and claptrap and carry on, there's no respect there. It's the inner man that is really powerful and can make a true impact on people. And here it's encouraging the wives to have that true impact on their unbelieving husbands. And it's that testimony. It comes down to the testimony. And we know from experience that wherever we are, our testimony is a very powerful thing. And it's the way we act, the way we be, the way we speak. It's very powerful. And not the outward, there's an initial impact when you first meet someone, what they're wearing and what you think of them when you first see them. But it's the inner man that makes the biggest impact. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And before the Lord, as it says in the scriptures, there in heaven there is not neither male nor female. It's the flesh that distinguishes between gender. So we all have an inner man. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, hence the title of the talk, with shamefacedness or propriety and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now these are scriptural principles that if we apply them in our life, we'll see a good result. Okay? God created male and female. He knew what he was doing. Okay? This word that we read now was before man was ever created. And he had a design in mind for a woman and a man. He knows what's good for all of us. He knows what's good for a woman and he knows what's good for a man. So if we read these principles, then here I've read a couple where it really targets the women particularly. These things are good if a woman put that into practice. It's good. It comes from God who created all women. You'll see good results. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 40. So chapter 28 goes through the clothing of the high priest in a bit of detail, and there's some great things in there. You know, about I really do like that bit further up about the bells on the end of the hem. You know, it's like us speaking in tongues, that sound. So here, toward the end of the chapter, Exodus chapter 28 and verse 40, and for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them. They be separate, they be high priests, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, basically underpants. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation. For when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. So here is this proper clothing that Aaron and his future descendants, when they served the Lord and they entered the holiest of holies, they had to wear these proper garments. And it turns out, as can be read in the New Testament, we are actually priests before the Lord. We have the Spirit. We are all worthy to enter the holiest of holies because we have that spiritual cloak of righteousness. We are actually priests 24/7, all the time. We are God's own children, and we present ourselves in a way that provides honour, gives glory to God. And that's what it says there, for glory and for beauty. And so when we go about our business, we come together to worship God, we are here to glorify God, to put God first. That's why testimonies are always about what God's done in our life. It's all about God, what the Lord's done in our life. So we come together, we glorify God. We're not here pushing our own flesh forward. We're not presenting ourselves in a way like the flesh before God. It's God first. And we put effort in to presenting ourselves in that way. Over to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, just one verse. There's lots of different things in the book of Leviticus. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. And verse 28. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Okay? So it's quite clear there. You do not do these things. He is our God, okay? And in the middle there, you will not print any marks upon you. And so that, of course, means tattoos, but it also means temporary tattoos, okay? Now, with temporary tattoos, like, I remember as a child going to a show or a fair, and it was really fun, you know, you get a little tattoo on your cheek. And also been to like 21st concerts, and part of the dress-up of that, some of them put a tattoo on, a temporary tattoo on, which is part of the fun. But being a temporary tattoo, I kind of expect it to be washed off in the morning, and because it's temporary. So we do not print any marks upon us, permanent or temporary. And we lead a new life. We're separate from the other ways. And these are scriptural principles. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God and honour the king, or the administrators of this world, the premier, the prime minister, the mayor. We give them due honour. So honour all men, love the brotherhood. And so we're free now. We are free before the Lord. You know, we have such great liberty. We know that we are saved. We know that we'll be raised up to meet the Lord in the air when Jesus comes back. We're free from the constraints that the world puts on people. But let not that freedom or that liberty become a cloak of maliciousness. Let it not be used as a reason for people to, like it kind of refers elsewhere, to curse God, you know. Let it not be a reason, oh, you know, they apparently follow God, but look at what they're wearing, or look at what they're doing. You know, we don't do that. It's all about a testimony. And we're here to help everyone out. You know, like we come to the meetings and we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, you know, unto the Lord. And we're here as a testimony to help others in their walk and in their way of following the things of the Lord. And so we do that with care. We do that with that in mind as well, that the way we're acting and presenting ourselves is not going to have a flow-on effect within the other saints, in the other assembly, within the assembly, and also even those around us, to be able to point fingers and say, well, wait a minute, I didn't think Christians did that. So we do not let our freedom or our liberty become a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And as we read before, it's just wonderful when we serve the Lord, we serve Jesus, we follow his ways, and it's just a fantastic testimony. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, another great aspect that, the scriptures have these things, these examples of the world to explain spiritual things. As it says in John 3, Jesus got frustrated with Nicodemus. I'm explaining you earthly things, so how on earth are you going to understand spiritual ones? So here's another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We're born again. Old things are passed away. The way we lived our old life's gone. It's finished. We lead a new life. A new example. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's the other important thing of our testimony. Jesus Christ has reconciled us. You know, he got rid of that chasm between us so that we could be one with God. And as a result of that, we now have this ministry of reconciliation. We're now in a position where we can go about and tell others how to become one with God. So therefore, we're examples of our old life being hoiked out right over the shoulder, and we're now leading a new and clean life, and we're presenting ourselves that way, that we are different, we're separate, because we have this ministry of reconciliation where we can call others as this example of being part of the kingdom of God. Now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you. See, he beseeches us. He besought us. Beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, or on Christ's behalf. Be ye reconciled to God. You know, like that beseeching. You can imagine, please, come, be part of the kingdom of God. Please. It's a wonderful place to be. There's great liberty. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we're ambassadors. We understand what ambassadors are in this modern world. Just about every country, but there's a lot of countries that have embassies in Australia. Mostly in Canberra, but they have them in many other cities. And there are ambassadors that are in those embassies, and they are representing their home country. And they are presenting to us here in Australia their home country and their home country's values. Okay? Think of countries that have some pretty firm values. Their ambassador here in Australia presents that to us in Australia because they are representing their home country. We don't belong here. This is not our world. We're sojourners in this world. Our country is with God. That's where we belong. We belong dwelling with him forever. He is a spirit. He is our Father. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. So heaven is our home country. We are ambassadors in a foreign land. So we present ourselves as God wants us to be presented. Different, with values as well, that God wants us to present in the same way. So this is an earthly thing presenting spiritual things. So let us understand that and apply it in our life. As my note says there, we're also ambassadors 24/7. You know, we're always an ambassador of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Is that I beseech you again. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So there's great mercy that comes from God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy or separate, acceptable unto God. You present your body how God wants it to be presented, which is your reasonable service. So that as well, it's a reasonable service. He's not asking something excessive verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We'll be an example, a testimony, what is acceptable and what is perfect before God. And we are not conformed to this world. And I was just reflecting on this. Probably the hardest time in a person's life to be different from the world and to stand apart is probably when you're in high school. That's the time when you're kind of framing yourself, and to stand apart from everyone else is just really tough at that time. And we can all reflect on that time. And I remember even like with my upbringing, I always wore borrowed clothing, you know, and I always looked like a fool, you know, because it just stood out. It's just what, and my shoes were always weird, you know, like I never had shoes that everyone else had. It's really hard that time of the year, at that time of your life, and to be separate. But we're adults now and we can be separate. We've got a frame of mind. We're firm in ourselves. We know what we represent. We know who we are before God. God's asked us to be separate and not conform to the things of this world. We can still look and appear fine, you know, like, but we don't kind of conform to all the things of this world. We're separate, and by the way we act, the way we talk, and the way we look as well, because that is acceptable. It's the acceptable and perfect will of God, and it's our reasonable service. Now, we have guidelines in the this assembly that were drawn up, and there's some copies there that I always put out on the table. But I want to read a couple of the guidelines, a couple of points under standards of dress and behaviour. So standards of dress and behaviour, they go together. The way we present ourselves is a representation of our behaviour. So we have here, members should wear their Sunday best to Sunday meetings and suitable, neat, modest dress to all other meetings. In general, board shorts, thongs and other beach wear shouldn't be worn to meetings. So wear suitable dress as a display of our attitude toward God. You know, our meetings are not a fashion parade, so think about what you wear. Next dot point. For the time being, the following female fashions are considered inappropriate for meetings: revealing or plunging necklines, stretch tight tops and bottoms, hot pants, bare midriffs, completely backless tops and the like. Please cause no offence and dress modestly. You know, if you can, cover up your cleavage. Men and boys are not to have earrings or unusual or extreme hairstyles, like ponytails. Last dot point. Apart from normal earrings on women and girls, members should not engage in other body art, piercings, tattoos. Please don't conform to this world or become a stumbling block to your brethren. Okay, that's stumbling block to the brethren. So if you have a tattoo from your old life, try to cover it up. Matthew chapter 16. And this is an important scriptural principle, Matthew chapter 16. It adds a lot of weight to the guidelines. Now, we don't refer to the guidelines a lot, you know, because we're seeking the Lord and we're looking to the Lord and following his ways, but the guidelines are always there. Matthew chapter 16. Here is a bit of dialogue between Jesus Christ and Peter, and Peter just had this amazing revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. And there are a couple of times in the scriptures where Jesus is giving instruction to Peter. And that instruction is given to the church because Peter was a pinnacle in the establishing of that first church after the Holy Spirit was poured out. He was a leader. He was the main driving force with revival amongst Jews, and Paul was the driving force mostly among the Gentiles. They were both great leaders in that respect, and Barnabas as well. But so when Jesus, in this narrative here, he's talking to the future church, the future Spirit-filled church. So Matthew chapter 16, and verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, or this understanding that Jesus is the Son of God, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It says elsewhere in the scriptures that there's one salvation message, there's one God, one Jesus, one Spirit, but there are different administrations of the gospel. And what this is saying here, he's given authority to Peter, and then subsequently the leaders of all the churches. He's given authority to them to apply different principles of administration to God's church, right? So when these guidelines were drawn up, they were drawn up with that in mind, with fear before God. You know, the guidelines have to be in line with God's plan and what God wants. I beseech you, brethren, that you draw these things up to help people to walk in spirit and in truth and in all purity. So these guidelines are things that have been bound here on earth. And it says here, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. These guidelines are bound in heaven. God has backed it up, okay? God has backed these up because the leaders of the church today, the Spirit-filled church, have decided these things are bound on earth. God's backed it up. So really, the guidelines need to be read next to the Bible, okay? In that respect, whatsoever has been loosed on earth, oh, it's okay, that's fine. It's like there's an example of what's been loosed on earth. There's a very long passage in the scriptures about women having long hair. And then at the end of it, it says, if anybody have an argument or a contention of this, then it doesn't apply. So that's a thing that's been loosed here on earth today. We don't make women have long hair. Women can have short hair. It's a different administration, something that's been loosed here on earth. Has also been backed up in heaven. But what the guidelines have decided is the way we present ourselves, what we wear, and with all purity is what's been bound on earth as a testimony that we are separate from things of the world. And there are many things that are popular now in the world, but we don't conform to that when they're contrary to what the scriptures say. And now, I was just having a chat to someone, just trying to work out how to present this. And they had a good idea. Like, we're now entering into the warmer months. So please, everyone, please be careful of your choice of what you wear to meetings. And it's also an opportunity to go and buy new clothes. You know? And think about it further, okay? Think about it further. You're buying those clothes as unto the Lord, right? The Lord wants me to buy more clothes. So it's like tithing then, isn't it? Because it's as unto the Lord, right? So it's a logic. It's like dang, 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 according to knowledge. So if as a result of this talk, you're kind of pricked in the heart and you realize, yes, what I've been wearing to meetings is not quite appropriate, go and acquire some more and it'll be seen as tithing before the Lord. Simple as that. Okay, thank you.